Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration this morning are the ending verses of our historical lesson for this day. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up, looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So far, our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us by the truth. Lift us up from this world to yourself in heaven by the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, 40 days after Easter, Jesus led his disciples out to the Mount of Olives. For 40 days, from Easter to the event we're celebrating, the Ascension Day, Jesus gave his disciples their last bits of instruction. He helped them put all the pieces together, which they really, to that point, couldn't have done until they experienced his resurrection and knew that he lived forever. Then he ascended. He was lifted up before them until a cloud hid him from their eyes, it says. And instead of being sad, the disciples, it says, were filled with joy. What does this mean? That's the most Lutheran of questions. What does this mean? Perhaps we're stating the obvious, but the obvious needs to be said here. God sent his Son into the world on a mission. He sent him here to save sinners like you and me from our sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. He sent him on a mission. And the fact that Jesus ascended back to heaven tells us that he had completed his mission here on earth. He had done the things that needed to be done. So what does this mean for you and me, fellow redeemed? Well, this, dear friends, gives us the greatest joy and comfort. For deep down, we know inside our sinful natures, we know that there's that dark question lurking in our hearts, that question that the young ruler asked of Jesus, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Our conscience bothers us because of all the times we've not paid attention to what God has said, all the times we've done evil and selfish things. Our conscience bothers us, in short, because of our many sins, and we want desperately somehow to be sure that we're going to get to heaven. And we ask ourselves, is there something that I need to do? Is there something I can do to be sure? If I only had a stronger faith, if I only prayed harder, then maybe that would be good enough. If I were to do something really grand at church, well, then maybe that would lift me up a notch or two and I could be sure. Maybe I could grab the Bible and read it from cover to cover, and I could feel more at peace. Now, don't get me wrong. Reading the Bible is a good and wonderful thing to do, but not if you're doing it because you think that by doing it you're going to earn peace and assurance and salvation. So isn't there anything we can do that will make us more sure of heaven? And the answer to that question is no. No, there's not. You are saved by grace. You are saved Because God in his heart determined that he would love you even though you had sinned against him. God in his heart determined that he would send his only begotten Son into this world to live a perfect life and to die a terrible death in your place to pay for your sins, every last one of them. That was God's plan. And he completed that plan to save us. And if he had not completed it, if he had left any sin unpaid for, Jesus would not have gone back to heaven. He would not have ascended as he did into heaven. Everything was done. Jesus had finished what he came to do for us, to pay for our sins. And so he ascended into heaven. Every sin paid for. Every righteous act was done and transferred to us as though we ourselves had done it in God's sight. That's how God looks at you and me now for the sake of Jesus. No wonder Jesus' ascension gave his disciples such great joy that they wanted to share it with everybody that they knew. There's no wonder that Jesus' ascension still gives us such great joy, that we rejoice every year remembering this event, that Jesus has done it all for us. And there's more comfort to be had in this account of Jesus' ascension. We keep asking that question, what does this mean? In the Apostles' Creed, we confess that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So what does that mean for us? Well, fellow redeemed, it means that you have a friend in high places, the highest of places. John wrote these words, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Today we would call somebody who speaks on our behalf this way an attorney or a lawyer, someone who is defending us. In the Old Testament, in a sense, it was the priests who did this, offering up the appropriate sacrifice for sin. Can you picture in your mind's eye how Jesus pleads for us, how he pleads before his Father for us? At the beginning of our service today, didn't you come here into this place to make a confession of your sins? And you know as well as I do, when we look into our hearts, we see a lot of sin there. Maybe you confessed those sins before you fell asleep last night. Maybe you confessed them today in that public confession at the beginning of the service. But whatever the case is, you realize that you have done many things wrong. And you wonder, maybe sometimes, whether God will run out of mercy for you. Haven't you had your last chance 1,000 times over? Only there is Jesus. At God's right hand, "Father," he says, "this sinner who has come before you pleading for mercy." He makes no excuses. She pleads no merit or worthiness. "This person has asked in my name for my sake, and I bore this person's sins on the cross. I paid for them with my own blood. Have mercy on them. I add my plea to theirs. Forgive them their sins." Do you think our Father in heaven could turn down the pleas of his one and only Son? Because Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God, you have someone who speaks on your behalf in your defense. At the end of a president's term of office recently. The president wrote out a number of pardons, and this isn't terribly unusual. They have the right to do that according to the Constitution. At least one of those pardons brought a lot of criticism, for he pardoned a man who had defrauded the government and evaded arrest and fled to another country. And people questioned the wisdom of that and the ethics of that pardon. But no one questioned the right of the president to grant that pardon. He has that right by constitutional law. In a much more certain and eternal way, God, our Heavenly Father, has established Jesus' right to obtain a pardon for us before his throne. No matter how awful your sin may be, no matter what you have done, no matter how little you deserve to be pardoned, I tell you, trust in Jesus. Trust him to save you. You have been pardoned by a gracious God. There are other things that we could talk about today in regard to Jesus sitting at God's right hand. And, you know, we could talk about how he rules over everything for our good and how he sent out pastors and teachers to bring this good news to people like you and me. But time doesn't permit that today. But let me continue to ask one more time that question. What does this mean? What does Jesus' ascension mean for us? It also means that he will come again, as he has promised. Sometimes I think as I read the Bible that it's a shame that the books ended up in the order that they did in the New Testament, because the book of Acts is really, the continuation of Luke's gospel account. He wrote both of those books, and they follow one upon the other. The account of the ascension in the gospel that we read today is the account of what happened at the ascension, and likewise in Acts, he repeats it. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And here we have these words. This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Did you catch the connection there? Do you see why Jesus' ascension into heaven gives us such comfort for the day when he returns? Luke tells us that he ascended, and when he did that, he lifted up his hands. This is the pose of blessing in the Old Testament. This was the pose of Jesus upon the cross. He showed them his hands with those nail marks still there, the symbol that our sins were indeed paid for on the cross. For those who believe in Jesus, who beheld his death, who witnessed his resurrection, who gazed upon his ascension, there is going to be no fear. For us who've seen it from afar, we need not fear. Didn't Jesus speak just this way to us too? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. How tenderly he speaks to us before he ascends into heaven. If I were moving my family to some distant country, first I would go there and set up my home, make sure I knew where the schools were, make sure everything was safe for them. Before I left them, I would tell them, I'm coming back soon, don't be afraid, I'm just going to make sure that everything is right for you before you come. And when I have a home for us, I'll come back and get you and we'll all be together again. And And this is how tenderly Jesus speaks to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. And this is how tenderly he speaks to us today as well. Don't be afraid. He knows that this world is a hard place. He knows that there are many sorrows and dangers. That's why he promises that he will be with us every time we hear his word. He promises he will be with us every time the sacraments are celebrated. He promises to be with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says he's getting a place in heaven ready for us. And when he comes again, he will take us home with him to be together with him forever. That's what Jesus' ascension means to us today. It means that Jesus completed his work for us. He left nothing undone. It means that we have a friend in high places who pleads with the Father on our behalf. And it means that we have one who is soon to return to bring us to the heavenly places. That's what Jesus' upraised hands mean. That's what this blessed day of ascension means to us. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Amen.